Glory, hallelujah, praise God. Thank God for the word of God and faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, this is another time in the word of God. Every day with Jesus podcast. And we are studying Bible truths concerning the local church. Amen. Bible truths concerning the local church. Glory to God. It's been a long session looking through the word of God. And we are still barely scratching the surface. Hallelujah. So, it's going to be a long one. We may have to take a break, teach something else, come back to it. However I'm led, we just, you know, flow. Praise God. So, this is part 16. And in the last teaching, I began to show us how that God is pro-leadership. God is pro-leadership. That is how God gets things done on the face of the earth. Amen. Leadership is the essence of the local church in the first place. If you remove leadership from the picture, the idea of order and accountability will be out of relevance. I mean, order. Who determines what's orderly and what is not? Glory to God. In a situation where there's no leader, everybody will just do what, you know, seems right to each and every one of us. You just do what seems right to you, what seems right to me. Service time, whenever I feel like. What about Bible study days? When should we come for Bible study? Well, I don't know. Praise God. Should we have a prayer meeting? Yay or nay? Nay, the nays have it. Praise God. Imagine church being run like that. Leadership is the reason why we would have particular days for particular things. Leadership is the reason why we say this is what is fitting, this is what is not fitting. This is what is orderly, this is what is not orderly in the church of God. Leadership is the reason why we can have set standards. Glory to God. Outside leadership, order is a myth. Accountability is a myth also. Praise God. There is nothing like that. Those concepts will be out of relevance. Glory to God. And leadership is indispensable, is the indispensable element in every institution. It is necessary. Glory to God. It is necessary. I said you see it in family. You see it in workplace. You see it at the workplaces. You see it in governance. You see it in the church of God. There has to be leadership. Praise God. There has to be leadership. In fact, let me add this one. You see it in friendship. Amen. And this one is so subtle because most times people do not realize that in friendship, there's a leader. There's somebody who, when he says something, everybody agrees and accepts and follows. In friendship, it doesn't have to be elected. It doesn't have to be chosen or selected. But there's a man that has influence and wields influence. And you know, has such a charisma that everybody just trusts his judgment. In friendship, there is leadership. Leadership is seen in every aspect of human endeavor. Glory to God, because leadership is the way to get things done. Outside leadership, what you find is chaos and disorder. Glory to God. Just imagine a nation without leadership. Just imagine that. Amen. Imagine a nation without leadership, particularly in this COVID-19 pandemic. A nation without leadership. With the fact that we have leadership, we have seen a lot of chaos. We've seen a lot of people disobeying rules and regulations, a lot of people choosing to do what they think is right for them. I mean, that's with the presence of leadership. Imagine not having a leader in this pandemic situation. Man, just forget it. The world is over already. Praise God. So leadership is key because it's leadership that ensures order and accountability everywhere. In societies, organizations, friendship, relationships, family, marriage. Leadership is key in every aspect of life. Outside leadership, I said, people will do what they think is right. Amen. People will do what they think is right. In the church, for instance, if there's no leader, like I said, people are going to decide for themselves when they want to come around for service. Glory to God. I put it to you that if I ask everybody, do you think Wednesday is a good time for midweek service? Some folks will have a different opinion or view. Some folks, because of their work, I mean, so legitimate, because of their work, I mean, Pastor, can't we meet on Fridays? Close from work and I come straight. Friday is sure for me, praise God. And then while the person is saying Friday and we're trying to see how feasible Friday is, another person says, Pastor, you see, for me it's Monday. Glory to God. So leadership is the reason why people would have a common day they call midweek service. It's not their choice. It's the choice of the leader. And everybody now begins to work his way around it. Everybody tries to make it work because, I mean, that's why we have a leader. Left to everybody making a choice, we'll never come to that decision. We'll never have a unanimous, you know, vote for a particular day. People have different reasons why they cannot be around on Wednesday. So leadership is so key. It sets structure and it sets the tone for orderliness and accountability. Look at Judges 21, verse 25. Praise God. Judges 21, 25. Leadership is so key. Glory to God. Leadership is so key. Judges 21, 25. This happened in Israel. Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Imagine there was no king in Israel. The outcome of that was that everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Amen. Imagine a city, a nation, a place, hallelujah, without leadership. There was no king in Israel and everybody began to do what was right in his own eyes. Realize that for some, what was right in their eyes was evil. Amen. And this is exactly what happens in a place where there's no leadership. Chaos, anarchy, men doing what they think is right in their own eyes. Hallelujah. And the last teaching I showed us from the book of Exodus, I began to show us the leadership of Moses. And then we saw how that Moses was the one God called. Moses was the one God chose as a leader. And Aaron was to assist. Praise God. And we saw the importance of good leadership. Left to the children of Israel, they will have gone back to Egypt many more times. Praise God. Left to them, they will have gone back to Egypt. They had a desire to be in Egypt. They were not ready to cope with the hardships and the problems and the challenges they were facing on the way to their own land. They were not ready for it. Glory to God. You know, those guys did not change their attitudes. Got to a point, Jesus, you know, Moses told them to go spy out the land. They got in there. The 12 spies returned. And 10 of them said, see, we cannot enter that land. And these guys began to cry again. And they supported those who brought the reports of we can't go in and take that land. It took leadership to persuade men to continue moving. At each point, praise God. When there was no water, they cried out. When there was no food, they cried out. When there was, I mean, any little challenge, they began to cry. They began to regret being free. They preferred bondage and slavery to freedom. It took leadership to make them realize that freedom is better than bondage. Hallelujah. It took leadership to enforce the will of God at every given time. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Exodus. Let's see Exodus chapter 4 now. Leadership is so key. God is pro-leadership. God ensures that his will is carried out on the face of the earth. True leadership. Amen. True leadership. It is not democracy, it's theocracy, and everybody submits to the rule of God via the leadership of men. Hallelujah. Exodus in chapter 4, and I'll read from verse 13 down to 16. Glory to God. Look at this very carefully. Exodus chapter 4, 13 to 16. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. This is Moses trying to plead with God to not send him to Egypt. I mean, I cannot speak well. He had given that excuse in the preceding verses. And he's pleading with God, just send through the hand of anybody. So at verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I'll be with your mouth and with his mouth. And I'll teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. Praise God. You shall be to him as God. That's not saying Moses will become Aaron's God. It just means Moses was going to be the one giving Aaron instructions. God was going to be leading via Moses. Whatever Aaron would take as an instruction from God will be via the voice and the instruction of Moses. Amen. So you are going to be to him as God. Mind you, this was Old Testament. Hallelujah. And Moses here being the mediator of the Old Testament is a figure of Christ being the mediator of the New Covenant. But then we see that leadership is what is playing out here. That when God wants to achieve something, it doesn't lead through many voices. Amen. It doesn't lead through many voices. And that's the reason why we saw that when Jesus was leaving the face of the earth physically, when he was ascending, he had to choose a leader over the apostles. Hallelujah. He had to choose a leader over the apostles. And we see Peter recognized as the leader in the early church. Every time it was Peter that stood up to respond, Peter stood up to speak. Peter's voice and Peter's opinion and Peter's perspective and submission was honored. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Leadership is key. God does not choose to speak through different voices to achieve results on the earth. Hallelujah. To get things done on the face of the earth, to get men to do his will on the face of the earth. He chooses one person and then others begin to follow. Hallelujah. Others begin to follow. Glory to God. Now listen, this is important. So you shall be to him as God. Amen. You shall be to him as God. So we know that this was the beginning of the religious movement, which is called Judaism, the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Now, you see that in that testament, in that covenant, everything that God set down as a standard, that God instituted, doctrine, administration, everything came through one man. Hallelujah. Everything came through one man, and others were just simply meant to submit and follow. Glory to God. Everything came through one man. And like I said to you, Moses is a type of Christ. He was a figure. So John 1:17, and the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So everything God said about that testament came from one man, came through one man, and others were meant to submit. Do you know that every king, every judge, every leader, priest, and all in Israel had to keep referencing Moses? Praise God. In Israel, to rebel against Moses was to rebel against God. Hallelujah. To try to improve and modify some of the things that Moses had said was to improve on what God had said, was to be a heretic. Hallelujah. What God said to Moses was what he was saying to the children of Israel. Glory to God. So look at doctrine. Moses was constantly instructed to write down the words and the instructions. Write it down for others. Hallelujah. Don't forget, there was Aaron. Also, there was Miriam. We're going to see the case of Miriam very soon. Aaron and Miriam, the way they wanted to rebel against Moses. So we had Aaron, we had Miriam. Beyond that, we had other elders that Moses appointed in Israel. There were lots of leaders in Israel. So look at it. God will speak to Moses. Moses will speak to Aaron. Aaron will speak to the people. The people will speak to their people. So you see that kind of chain of influence. Hallelujah. See, a chain of influence. But the starting point was one man that God would speak to and he would instruct others. And other folks will replicate the instruction in their own circles over those they've been appointed as leaders. Glory to God. Exodus 17 and verse 14. Praise God. The Bible says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I would utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Praise God. So he told him to write it down for a remembrance, for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. Listen. So it was to instruct Joshua. You know, Joshua was going to take over from him. So he was writing it down for as a memorial. They must reference this. Praise God. Even after Moses is gone. Hallelujah. Exodus 34, verse 1. Glory to God. Exodus 34 and verse 1. The Bible says, now the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So there was a need for him to write it down, detailed. Amen. Look at verse 27. Exodus 34, verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Moses was suspended in a kind of supernatural fast, not eating nor drinking for 40 days. Don't try it. Praise God. Don't try it. Hallelujah. Somebody was on the mountain with angels for 40 days and 40 nights. There's no way he would have been hungry. There must have been supernatural strength supplied his body. Glory to God. So the point here is, he had to write it down. Praise God. You see, the things God was instructing Moses to write in this place were to be written for generations to come. Hallelujah. I mean, down to the time when Jesus was going to show up on the face of the earth, they were meant to keep observing these things and obeying these things and following the words of Moses. That's how important it was. Praise God. So, look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 31 to 33, a strict adherence to the law of Moses, turning away from it to the right or to the left, was considered heretic. Amen. Deuteronomy 5, 31 to 33, Bible says, but as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the faith in the land which you shall possess. You must not turn to the right or to the left. They needed to stay strictly with the things that were said. No improvement, strict adherence to the things said by Moses. Hallelujah. No improvement. No modifications. No trying to adapt it to fit your own, you know, your own opinion or your own perspective. No. A strict adherence. Right from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 69. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Imagine the kind of, you know, attention they were meant to give to it. Shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost. You talk about them in your house. When you sit, when you lie down, you shall speak to your children, even when you walk by the pathway. Glory to God. Such strict adherence to the things that Moses was going to instruct them, you know, as things he received. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 17. Glory to God. 6 and 17. Bible says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 18. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the father swore to your fathers. They were meant to strictly adhere to the things that Moses was instructing them. And you know, this was meant to be for generations. That's why he says, you shall teach them to your children. It's meant to be a tradition till the time when the Old Testament was going to expire. Amen. Now, God is not giving these instructions to Aaron. Neither is God giving this instruction to Miriam or the several elders and leaders in Israel. This instruction is coming via the leader, Moses. Amen. And none of them was meant to say, well, I think, I feel that, you know, this is how we should do it. You know, this thing you are instructing us. I get your point, though. But, you know, no, they were meant to submit. And Moses is telling them, you must strictly adhere to it. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Hallelujah. You have to adhere to everything that is being said. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20 to 25. Look at this carefully. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day, then it will be righteousness to us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Praise God. So they were meant to give an explanation to their children. Amen. A very good lesson here. Your children can ask you questions concerning your faith. Why are we doing what we are doing? Amen. You know, many folks grew up in a very conservative, legalistic setting where when you ask questions, they say, you are too young for this. Shut your mouth. What if your child asks you, sir, who created God? Ah, what kind of thought is that? You know, you are meant to give an answer from scriptures. Let your child know what the Bible says, the Bible position about these things. That was the instruction they were meant to answer their children, give them an explanation for why they were doing what they were doing. Praise God. So you see, a strict adherence to the law was required. Amen. No leader was meant to rise and start doing his own thing. He was meant to submit to the leadership of Moses. Amen. The leadership of Moses. Why? Because the leadership of Moses was God speaking. Praise God. The leadership of Moses was what? Was God speaking. Hallelujah. Throughout the old covenant, people were expected to quote Moses. Amen. Throughout the Old Testament, they were expected to quote Moses. The same way today, we all are expected to quote Christ as the mediator of the new covenant. So look at this now. When Joshua took over from Moses, you notice that Joshua continued in those instructions. Joshua's leadership was not the beginning of new things. Amen. Of course, new accomplishments, leading the children of Israel into their promised land and all that. But there was no new doctrine, new way of doing things. There was no new administration. He simply stayed true. Amen. Stayed true to all that Moses had commanded. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1 verse 7. Look at this. In fact, the book of Joshua, Moses is mentioned in 51 verses in the book of Joshua. Always being referenced. That is so instructive about the leadership of Joshua. Praise God. That Joshua was such a faithful man, committed to the very things that he had been instructed by Moses. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Glory, hallelujah. Joshua 1, 7. Praise God. Bible says, only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. You see, the instruction to Joshua is don't turn to the left, or to the right. Make sure you observe all that Moses commanded you. A strict adherence. He says, this is how come you are going to prosper wherever you go. Joshua 1:13. Praise God. Joshua 1:13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. So, it continues to reference Moses. Joshua chapter 4 verse 10. Hallelujah. So, leadership was continued. It's not a political party, you know, change of governance and then this party is fighting that party. It's one. Amen. So, that means in God's administration, what you find is continuity. Hallelujah. Continuity. You don't find people trying to upstage one another. You find continuity. Glory to God. And you see, that's the reason why several people cannot understand why some churches have not departed from the doctrine and the administration, the culture that was laid down by the founders of certain local churches or denominations. Amen. You see that stuff there? That is exactly what leadership is about. The only time it becomes a challenge and it becomes an issue is when what they are trying to sustain or continue is a wrong practice. Amen. But you see, I would to God that what men who have come to receive the doctrine of Christ, men who have come into the light of the truth of Christ, I would to God that they would develop the faithfulness and the consistency and the continuity spirit, amen, of men who are devoted to falsehood. Glory to God. Look around us today, you find religious churches, religious men and circles. You find them continuing traditions that have been laid down for over 100 years, 200 years, 500 years. You find them all around us. Look at the sect called Jehovah's Witness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why can't we have such allegiance to sound doctrine handed to us by sound leadership? Glory to God. Because, see, in God's administration, continuity is key. Continuity is very key. So Joshua was not going to deviate from that which had been laid down because there was no fault with it. Amen. There was nothing faulty about what Moses had instructed him. Because Moses gave him that instruction as things that he also received from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at Joshua again. Joshua chapter 8 now. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 8. Well, let's see Joshua 4, verse 10. So the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to all the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. Look at that. That the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people all read and crossed the valley. Have you seen that? The things God said to Joshua were the very things that God had commanded Moses to say to Joshua. He had to continue the tradition. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 8 and verse 30 to 31. Hallelujah. Joshua 8, 30 to 31. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the law, in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of old stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool, and they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. You see, according to what Moses had instructed in the book of the law. Amen. He continued the tradition. Glory to God. He didn't think of a brighter idea. Hallelujah. Something more innovative for his own time. He stayed with that which was handed to him. That's faithfulness. Glory to God. Joshua 8, 33. Hallelujah. Joshua 8, look at verse 33. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priest, the Levite who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. Amen. According to what he had commanded. Look at verse 35. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel. Faithfulness. Glory to God. God has spoken through one man. God had given the instructions through Moses, and Joshua was carrying on the tradition faithfully. Glory to God. Joshua 11 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Joshua 11 and verse 15. Glory to God. Listen now. Bible says, as the Lord had commanded Moses his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. God commanded Moses. Moses commanded Joshua. Joshua did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, leaving nothing undone. Praise God. Joshua 11:23. Hallelujah. Joshua 11:23. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. And Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. What was Joshua doing? What God said to Moses. Amen. What God said to Moses was what Joshua was doing. Eventually, Joshua, by doing all that God had said to Moses, which Moses said to him, was doing the will of God. I'll say that again. Eventually, Joshua, by doing all that God had said to Moses, which Moses said to him, was doing the will of God. Praise God. Many folks do not realize that when you follow a sound minister, a sound leader, a sound spiritual leader, a man who is following the will of God and the leading of God, it's as good as though you are following God. Amen. You know, that's the idea of follow me as I follow Christ, that Paul said. It's as good as following Christ. It's the reason why I don't understand the idea of Jesus versus Paul that people do today. Say, let's not follow a man. Let's not follow Paul. Let's rather follow Jesus. No, following Paul is following Jesus. Glory to God. Because whatever Paul has said to the church is what Jesus would have said to us if we were to be present in person. Glory to God. That's why the Apostle Peter says at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the very oracle of God. The word oracle there is the word logion in the Greek. Logion is spelled L-O-G-I-O-N. L-O-G-I-O-N. Logion in the Greek. Praise God. Which means the utterance of God. Let him speak as though God himself were present in the flesh. Let him speak the word of God. Hallelujah. So the man that follows him that speaks the word of God is following God. Glory to God. So Joshua needed to just obey all that Moses had said. And in following all that Moses had said, he was following God's plan and God's will. Amen. Do you know that was the idea of good success for Joshua? That text of the Bible that has been hijacked today, you know, somebody gets first class as a non-believer, a believer gets first class, you say, yeah, the believer's first class is good success. The unbeliever's first class is what? Success. That's a joke. Praise God. That's not the idea of good success. In the context of the Old Testament, fulfilling the ministry by not deviating from the right to the right or to the left of all that Moses had instructed for Joshua, that was good success. Amen. That was how he was going to prosper in the assignment that God had committed into his hands. Amen. We're going to use that text for the New Testament to admonish or to instruct the New Testament minister. It will be about fulfilling your ministry. That is the good success, in quotes. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Look at this now. And then I'll read from verse 7 to see the context. Joshua 1, 7 to 8. Bible says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Have you seen that word prosper? Don't turn to the right or to the left, that you may prosper. Prosper in what? In leading the children of Israel aright. Hallelujah. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You know what? Those were the things we read about earlier. All that Joshua began to do, according to Moses' instruction, setting up, you know, the altar, dividing their lands accordingly, dealing with the adversaries and the enemies on the road. Everything Moses had written in the law as touching their entrance into the land of Canaan, Joshua was instructed to make sure he meditates in those things. That is, you must not forget them, so you'll be able to do them. And that is when you make your way prosperous and you have good success. So if Joshua had led them into the land without doing all those things that were instructed, he wouldn't have had good success in leadership. Glory to God. So, faithfulness, glory to God, submission to leadership. You see again that God is pro-leadership. God raised Moses. He was assisted by Aaron, Miriam, and other elders in Israel. After the death and departure of Moses, he raised Joshua. Glory to God. And Joshua continues the tradition and the rules and the instructions of Moses. But you see, there's another leader, so prominent, Joshua. Glory to God. And men were just meant to submit. Men were not meant to say, you know, wasn't I also there when Moses was leading us? Are you saying we don't know what Moses said? They were not meant to contest, you know, against his leadership and be fighting him and be trying to prove that they also were there when Moses was there. Glory to God. You know, there are folks who cannot submit to a pastor in the church because the pastor was ordained right before them. They cannot submit. Sometimes you even came to church together with the pastor. You all joined the church together, and then the man is raised to the position of leadership in the church, and you find it difficult to submit because you're like, this guy. I even remember the day he got converted. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember the day that he came into the light of the gospel. Amen. I mean, because you remember the day that he came into the light of the gospel does not mean he can't be a pastor over you in the church. Amen. I mean, if God chooses people based on who is the first to come into Christ or who is the first to receive the gospel, Paul will have been disqualified. Amen. Paul was an apostle over men that were born again before him, because no man takes the honor unto himself. Glory to God. And when such a man is appointed as a leader in the church, he becomes a pastor and elder in the body of Christ, you ought to submit and receive his ministry. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's about Joshua's leadership. Men recognized him again as the leader. God was not speaking through multiple voices at the same time. There was another leader giving directions, instructions, and men were following. And the burden of leadership rested upon his shoulders. Glory to God. Let me say this. Many times, the reason why people find it difficult to stay in a local church is because they just cannot trust the wisdom of the leader. Amen. You can't trust that the leader is sound enough to lead you. Glory to God. You always assume or feel that you can do it better. You have a better approach, a better way. Do you understand? People find it difficult to submit to leadership because leadership entails you becoming humble enough to trust the judgment of the man leading you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I said to you earlier, I said, see, in following a sound leader and following a man who is following the will of God and following the plan of God is as good as following God himself. Amen. Do you realize that if a pastor says we are coming for evangelism, and you come for evangelism, and you do the work of ministry, and you get men saved, you get men talking in tongues, you get men converted, do you know God is going to reward you for that ministry? Do you know you are going to receive reward for that obedience? Hallelujah. Who told you to come for evangelism? A man. Who is going to reward you? God. For obeying who? Obeying God. Hallelujah. You see that eventually in listening to that man, you were obeying the voice of God. Glory, hallelujah. When God says, to you, go and evangelize, and you go, and you say, this is God, this is the leading of the Spirit, this is not pastor, and you go because it's the leading of the Spirit, and the pastor says, let's go and evangelize, and you don't go. Both are the same. Amen. You have obeyed God because you felt, this is the leading by the Spirit. I was just prompted, an intuition. Amen. Then you disregarded the instruction of a pastor because, this is pastor. The truth of the matter is, for disregarding the voice of the leader in the church, you are as good as disregarding God's instruction. Amen. Hallelujah. And most times people do not realize this. Praise God. People do not realize this. Amen. When a pastor puts together a prayer meeting and you are present in the prayer meeting, is God going to speak to you in that prayer meeting? Yes. Who called the meeting? A man. Who spoke to you? God. Hallelujah. God is going to speak to you in that meeting. He's going to find expression through you in that meeting, though it was a man that called that meeting. Praise God. Eventually, you will have done the will of God, though it was a man that led you to do it. Praise God. So, you see, in following a sound spiritual leadership, you'll be doing God's will. Amen. Don't see it as I'm following a mere man. No. You know, this is spiritual. It's a sacred matter. Hallelujah. Where the man is filling the role of a shepherd. In fact, the way to see it is that he's an under shepherd. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Glory to God. And so God reaches out to him by way of instructions for the church. When you take to that instruction and you obey that instruction, you're as good as following the instruction of God. Praise God. And many folks do not realize this. Amen. Don't assume that when a pastor says it's time for prayer meeting, he's calling you to come and do his own will. And when you have a leading by the Spirit of God to pray in your private space, you say, now, this is when God wants me to pray. Hallelujah. Don't assume when the pastor says, when you come to church, make sure you come with your writing materials. Don't think he's telling you to come and do his own will. Amen. When the pastor says, when you come to church, make sure there are no side talks until we are done with the preaching of the word of God. Don't say, that's pastor's own will. Glory to God. At all. In fact, let me show you an example in Paul's letter to let you see what I'm saying very well. Don't assume it's the pastor's own will. Then later, when you now feel a leading by the Spirit to study your Bible, you now say, this is when God wants me to do Bible study. But when the pastor calls for Bible study, that's pastor's own idea. No, that Bible study that pastor is calling you to do must have been prompted by the leading of the Spirit because he's a leader. Amen. He's a leader. Rather than, sitting down in a corner in your house to probe whether he really heard God, why not just submit? He hasn't called you to come and sin. He hasn't called you to come and, delve into unrighteousness, ungodliness. He's calling you to come and do God's will. Why not just follow? Why not just trust and lean on God's wisdom? Why not just trust the judgment of the leader? Glory to God. 1 Corinthians, look at this carefully. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians very instructive, something that Paul said. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. So Paul was answering different questions and concerns of the Corinthian church. And then he gets to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Look at what he says. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I have no commandment from the Lord. That is, there is nothing written anywhere specifically in addressing this particular challenge. Amen. But I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy as a leader. Praise God. As one whom God has chosen as a leader, I give judgment. Glory to God. So it's not everything you start probing and probing. Once it is not against God's will, it makes sense to just follow. Submit and trust the judgment of the man leading. Glory to God. And trust the judgment of the man leading. What is the alternative of not trusting the judgment of the man leading? Another leadership. Praise God. That's the only alternative. There will always be that vacuum, a need for a leader. Amen. Everybody that has spoken against leadership eventually became a leader. The moment they start speaking against leadership, they're already drawing men after themselves as leaders. Praise God. Because there will always be that need for leadership. Glory to God. So, you see, you must understand this. God is pro-leadership. The local church is about leadership. Amen. Leadership is what drives discipleship. There will be no discipleship or followership without leadership. There will be nothing like order and accountability without leadership. That means what you have to learn the most in a local church is how to follow. Praise God. How to follow a leader. How to submit. How to trust the judgment of the man leading you. Praise God. And you see, it is from good followership that good leaders emerge. Hallelujah. Those who have not learned to follow well cannot lead well. Amen. We saw it in the life of Joshua. Glory to God. We saw it in the life of Joshua. The reason why he was able to lead well was because he once followed well. Joshua followed Moses well. He eventually became a good leader. Those who want to lead without following eventually become bad leaders. Glory to God. We're going to continue from here in the next teaching. I want you to make up your mind to be a good follower of sound spiritual leadership, and your life will not remain the same. It will have been worth it at the end of the day. You'll have been driven to do the will of God through the agency of human leadership. Continue from here in the next teaching. Invite your friends, family members, colleagues, classmates. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of prayers, full of the Holy Ghost and of power. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.